Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And the New England Patriots drop to 10-2. The final score in Houston, Texans 28, Patriots 22.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think we're all trying to do, you know, it's a good job out there.
Dale Arnold.
Flowing like a butterfly, getting ready to sting like AB.
Rich Keefe.
Pastrnak ahead, the drive scores! 25 for Pastrnak!
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, boy.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. By the way, the Greg Hill Show this morning, I was a little disappointed. Right off the bat, 6 o'clock, when Greg...
Oh, you're up early, huh?
I am. Greg Hill's lead... was that the Mariah Carey Christmas song is the worst ever. That one.
Worst ever?
Yeah.
Wow.
That seemed like a very strong and improper take.
It's a lot of Christmas songs.
There are a lot of them.
I don't think this is the worst one. I don't mind this one.
Greg should go take a lap. This is not the worst song.
No, they're worse. You might even hear it tomorrow on Karaoke Tuesday for Shab.
By the way, I read
tip
somewhere.
Our hands, Keith.
Oh, sorry.
She has made $60 million off this song.
Wow.
This song alone.
Man.
What?
I'm in the wrong business.
The royalties. The royalties
Sean,
for
start
this song.
Just this song alone. Jesus.
You know how many people have covered this song?
Oh.
And there are some pitiful covers of this song.
Yeah.
If you think this is bad.
But is
so listen to Ozzy Osbourne try to sing it.
Isn't this a cover? This is a cover. She covered it.
Oh, no. I think she wrote this.
Oh, you're looking at the wrong guy. I'm not going to help you.
I was wondering if
this is a Mariah original.
Maybe. I didn't know that.
Oh, I thought
this was a...
I did wonder that, by the way. Like, when a famous musician does, like, their Christmas album, how do they have... Like, do they have to pay for all those songs? Like, you didn't write Jingle Bells. Do you have to pay somebody, like, the guy who wrote Jingle Bells or gal? And then,
well, yeah, I think there's a little bit
of
kickback.
But then you get paid for something.
Yeah, you give them money, and then you get most of the percentage.
Right. It's time to talk to New England Patriots running back James White. James is brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance and Shaw's, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots, and by Feldman Land Surveyors, right from the ground up. Good afternoon, James.
Good afternoon.
Is sleep overrated?
Sometimes.
you guys landed what, about six, I think Bill said. Belichick said you landed about six or so.
Yeah, got home around six, landed like five something.
James, how do you balance it? You know, a lot of the times this year, we've talked about, you know, Tom Brady after these games where you guys have won, but the offense hasn't really clicked, and he was really frustrated, but it was after a win. And obviously it's a team game, but there's an individual element to it. On the flip side of that, you guys lose last night, but you play particularly well. You're a big part of the offense. You lead the team in rushing yards. You lead the team in receptions. You have a couple of touchdowns. Are you able to enjoy that part of it at all, or no, because you guys lost?
Not really. Losing is never, you know, a good feeling, no matter how well you played and whatnot. I had some bad plays out there as well. You know, you just got to be better as an offense, you know, from the start of the game to the end of the game. Playing good football teams, can't let them jump out on you, and then it's hard to play from behind sometimes.
Now, from game to game, we see how guys, you know, their production changes. How do you, as a player personally, stay engaged? Because, you know, one week you might have a game where you catch, like you did, you know, 8 catches for 98 yards, and then the next week it's 1 catch. Or how do you stay laser-focused to not kind of get out of a rhythm where if your number's called, you're kind of not ready?
I just try to stay locked in. Obviously, our game plan can change at any point from the middle of the game to the end of the game, depending on how teams are matching up against us. So I just stay locked in, and then my number's called. Just got to be ready to answer the bell.
Did did the Texans do something different in terms of pass pressure that different than what you were expecting? It seemed as though Tom had less time than normal. I know you had the one holding penalty trying to keep him upright at one point there as well.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't doing anything that we didn't practice. It's just more of us just executing and just getting the job done. I think that's what's been all about kind of all season. It's all of us been taking turns, not doing our job very well, and then it makes things tough.
The TV cameras picked up Brady yelling at some of the receivers. Is that as frustrated as you've seen him, or is that more commonplace and maybe we just don't see the cameras on him?
I think it's just more of him just trying to motivate those guys, get all of us going. Like I said, we are trailing, and he's just trying to have everybody have a sense of urgency. Except when you're playing from behind, you got to get things going fast, or else you'd be too far behind.
Now, the past couple of weeks, you guys and Brady talked about this, just kind of starting off slow. And, you know, when you dig yourself a hole, it's difficult to get out. You're able to do it against the Eagles, obviously not against the Texans. You got another opponent in the Kansas City Chiefs that have the ability to put up points quickly. What are you guys going to do as an offense to make sure that you're able to start quick and stay ahead of the sticks, especially on first down?
Just have good drive starters. Be able to drive the ball, you know, 8-10 plays sometimes, kind of wear the clock down, things of that nature, score in the red zone, just complement the defense and special teams. Our defense has been playing well, as long as special teams as well, and just got to have their back because they've had ours, and we all got to hold each other accountable and go out there and play well for four quarters.
We've read about what a great job the video department for the Patriots does in getting stuff into your hands, all of you guys, you know, and be able to use it. On the plane ride home, are you looking at last night's game or are you looking at next weekend's game?
For me, I kind of just take my mind off football on the plane ride home, and then I'll check things out once I get home. I just kind of refresh my mind a little bit, but you watch the previous game and then you move on to the next week because you can't really hold on to things from the previous week. The next week's going to be fast approaching. Actually, you have another good opponent. The Chiefs, you got to study up on them hard because they're going to come out ready to go. They've been playing well.
If the team decided to, would you welcome Antonio Brown back?
that's not really, my choice or anything of that nature. I think we have everything we need on this team right here. It's all about us just executing.
Now, as one of those guys who's been around, who's been in this locker room for a long time, and you lose a tough game against the Texans, how do you make sure, that you're keeping guys up, you're keeping the morale up, you're keeping them focused and saying, hey, listen, we might have lost one against Houston, but we're on to Kansas City, and let's, try to go out there and ultimately come away with a win. What do you do to advise guys?
I don't think much has to be said. I think it speaks volume of how guys kept fighting last night. Because just win the tank and let the score get real ugly, the guys kept fighting and doing whatever we could to try and make it a close football game. So it kind of speaks to the type of guys that we have in the locker room. So, not much needs to be said. Everybody needs to have a sense of urgency. We're still in good shape, man. We still have a lot of football left and have some good opponents left. So you got to go out there, compete, and finish strong.
Now, congrats to your Wisconsin Badgers. You guys got the Paul Bunyan axe back. You beat Minnesota pretty good.
Big Ten championship.
Big Ten title game.
They held it down.
I know you're a little biased, but any chance they could beat Ohio State or even cover the number? I think the early line was 16.5.
I think so. It's hard to beat teams twice. And like I said, I think they'll come out and be better prepared, neutral site. I think I like my Badgers. I think they'll make it tough on those guys.
All right. James, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Take care. That is New England Patriots running back James White. The top performer of the week is brought to you by Ace Ticket, and he is, in fact, James White, based on the numbers that Rich gave you earlier. Ace Ticket, proud to be the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For trip and ticket information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
And you know what I loved about James White yesterday, too, and he even sort of echoed it when we were talking about, you played really well. You had really good individual numbers, but the team lost. And he's mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it sucks. Then none of it matters because we lost. And you can even tell on both touchdowns that he scored, zero celebration. Emotion. And not like there should be, but you'll see it around the league. You'll see a guy down 20, and they're doing the worm, and you're like, hey, idiot, you're down by 20 points.
Right.
James White scores a touchdown, and he was almost like mad. He like gets in the end zone, he's like, ugh, like, find the ref. Let's
That's
go.
The worst.
He's like, we still got ways to go here.
It's like Lacoste, like celebrating.
Oh my God, your guy.
All right,
your guy,
listen, Lacoste. You made a good catch. You wide open. Make the next one. Why weren't you celebrating on the second pass that was thrown your way?
There's not a lot to celebrate there.
But I hate when guys do that. It's you're down by a ton. You know, you're down by 30 points and you got a first down. You're getting up, spinning the ball, first down signal. It's like,
it was like when Chris Canty was here, the corner. It's like every time they'd make a tackle 30 like, yards downfield.
You want to tap dude on the shoulder, like, bruh, you see the scoreboard up there?
We're losing. We're losing. And you caught that pass because nobody covered you.
We're down by 28. You picked up six shots.
Who was the college kid this weekend who did the dog pee on the fire hydrant?
Oh, that was a kid from Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
And he gets backed up. They get the penalty. He gets backed up, and then the kicker
Kai Forbath
misses.
Comes in and misses the extra point.
Right. And then the coach gets fired.
Yeah, that was a tough swing there. Yeah. That was a tough turn of events.
I was like, really? You thought this was a good time to trot that celebration out? Good plan. Yeah.
So, Shime, if you're betting that Big Ten title game, it looks like James White says Wisconsin's going to cover.
I don't know.
I like it.
Ohio State.
Inside
Ohio
of coverage
State
right
is
there.
A wagon. They are loaded.
They are probably going to kill him.
Imagine that could have been George's quarterback. We had to stick with Jake Fromm.
In the interest of just putting a bow on this one, Mariah Carey and a guy named Walter Afanasiev did write I Want for Christmas Is You.
Wow. Good for her.
As of 2017.
All right, a couple years back.
The song was reported to have earned $60 million in royalties. This was two years ago.
Right.
It has been a global sales of over 16 million copies. It's her biggest seller ever. The 12th best-selling single of all time.
Jeez.
I think Greg Hill was way too hard on this song.
People have to pay her if they do this song.
Right.
They have to pay her, and she probably gets a percentage every time it's played.
So what I've decided is, as a group, the five of us,
we're going to write a Christmas song.
Yes.
We're going to record it.
We need to write a Christmas song and then record it once.
And
even
retire.
If it's terrible, people are like, it's pretty good, and then they're going to want it.
It's
got to
be catchy, though.
It'll definitely be catchy.
Yeah, it's got to be catchy.
Okay. You know. Something with, you know, reindeer I like.
Yeah.
Snowmen, I think could
it's
be good.
It's got to be like, you know, I Caught Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Just like
Do you
that.
Like gingerbread?
I love gingerbread.
Right.
Gingerbread houses, let's include that.
Right. It's got to be definitely snowmen.
Stockings.
Snowmen.
I like stockings.
A nice fire.
Fireplace.
Rudolph.
Actually, I don't know if we can say him by name.
Okay, well, that reindeer.
We'd have to give up half our money.
What about reindeer?
Reindeer, I think we can say. That's fine.
A lot of good Christmas food.
Clippity-cloppity on the roof.
Toys.
Good one, Shime.
Milk and cookies.
Yeah, now we're on to it. See, these are the words like that need to be in the song, and then we can figure out the song later.
I just need them to just sit up in my brain. Yeah. I need to ruminate on it a little bit.
And then just write
I'll come
it.
Up with
and I want
great.
Like an accordion and some bagpipes.
Oh, so wow.
We're going to really do this up.
Okay, so accordion and bagpipes?
Yeah, bagpipes.
What are you, AC/DC all of a sudden?
We're going to need a bagpipe.
What genre are we putting this in?
Because we need to separate ourselves from the other Christmas songs that are out there. Because if we just have another Christmas song, it's going to get lost in the shuffle.
Well, I know we're going.
If we come in there and we're just slamming some bagpipes.
But wait a second. We have to figure out, because we know genre is probably going to be
Christmas.
We know it's Christmas, but are we going
dark Christmas?
Are we going R&B Christmas? Are we going pop Christmas? What type of song?
No, we're going polka Christmas if we're going to have a
polka. No, we're not doing polka Christmas.
No, see, I've unlocked the key to a Christmas hit.
Is this a rock and roll Christmas? Is this an old school standards Christmas song?
Oh.
So you got to figure out, what do you want? Mariah's
want
is more like a, I want to say pop.
Like a little flirty.
It's a pop song. A lot of, you know, high, you know, making sure we got high voices in there.
That's true. Shime, you said you have the key to unlock the
key to a successful Christmas
Wait
song.
A minute, this could be a whole standalone segment. I don't know why we're doing this now.
Is the keytar.
Yes, you need a keytar. That goes without saying, I think, because it gives you both the keyboard sound and the guitar sound.
Are we wanting somebody with a powerful voice?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not Shime.
Although the Chipmunks, that was a popular song.
Right.
They don't have a very powerful voice.
That's why
quite as well as... Yeah.
But that's why I'm asking where you want to go. You want to go pop Christmas? Or you want to go R&B Christmas?
What if we meld a whole bunch of them together?
A little bit
like you have somebody that
like
has
you have
like
pop,
a
rock,
voice, rap.
Right. You kind of add it all together.
Okay.
A melting pot.
So a gumbo.
A gumbo song. Christmas songs. like we're onto it.
Let's talk to New England Patriots defensive back Daron Harmon, brought to you by Falmouth Lumber, your local Anderson Windows dealer. Daron is also brought to you by Verizon Wireless. Good afternoon, Daron. How are you?
I'm doing good, yourself.
I'm doing fine, thank you. Just a quick assessment. How do you think the Patriots defense performed last night?
Obviously not as far as our standards. They were 4-for-4, three for three in the red area. That's something that we know we can't do. They had some big plays. We played well against the run, but, when you're playing a good team like that, you got to play better in other areas. And areas we didn't play well in, they exposed us.
Did you have the flu right now, Daron? Are you sick?
No, I don't have the flu. I'm good. Just playing a little common cold.
What was that like? What was that like last week with just so many guys out? And then we heard the report that sent two different planes down there, and probably unsure what the status was going to be, but just trying to deal with everybody being sick. That's got to be. I mean, has there ever been a time where you've been on a team where that many guys were dealing with something like that?
No. That was something new that I had to experience, but at the end of the day, we had an idea who was going to, be able to play. There's no excuses. That had nothing to do, obviously, with the game. The only thing that mattered in the game is we didn't execute well in certain areas and that we need to execute well in. It's after Thanksgiving. We know what this part of the season means to us and to everybody else around the league. It's time to play your best football, and unfortunately, as a defense, we wasn't able to do that last night, being sick or not sick.
Now, there were a few things that looked like, some guys last night were running free, a tight end ultimately ran free on one touchdown. Was that more communication because of playing in a hostile area, or was it just one of those things that you guys weren't able to get the proper communication that you wanted on some of those plays where you said, you had some receivers running open?
Yeah. Well, it was, a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. Just not everybody, I wouldn't say not being on the same page, but, just a play where they had a good play drawn up for the defense we were in. They did a good job of, having some tough plays down there. Misdirection plays always give, teams the tough times, and they did a good job of just, drawing up some good stuff down there, the triple option to DeAndre and to Deshaun. They drew up some really good plays down there, so we just got to, tip our hat to them.
Daron, we appreciate the time. Feel better. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, have a good one, guys.
Take care.
Thanks, Daron.
Daron Harmon.
Always nice
some
to
rest on Julian Edelman's phone.
Call in from a leftover Thanksgiving baked potato.
That was a good.
I think
good
it's got to be the cell service down there.
I don't know what it is.
D minus.
Yeah.
I don't live that far from there, and my phone doesn't sound like that.
It seems like the Foxborough around Gillette. It must have been some type of chip that Belichick implanted because the cell phone service is never good.
I think when you get a job there, well, you'd know this, Wiggy. He actually hands you a cell phone. Says,
yeah, use this one.
This is going to be your cell phone.
That's your work, phone.
You're like, what is this?
Well, he should have handed AB a work phone.
Yeah, he should have.
AB is tweeting at 12:10 today.
Okay.
He tweeted out, and I quote,
"Yeah,
my life really a miracle."
All right.
Well,
it's a little Christmas theme.
Okay, not bad. We can add that to our thing.
Always miracle. Miracles.
Put that in the stew.
Make sure a miracle is always good around Christmas time. Yeah. Well, one of my Christmas wishes is that AB comes back.
That was, I think, on a lot of people's
list. I got that on the list. And Santa, right, I think we should put that on our list. And Santa lives at one place.
No, he lives in the North Pole.
Are you sure?
I think so. That's where I've been sending all my letters.
Well, I think we should send our AB letters to one Patriots place.
All right. We'll see. Get one of those online petitions going.
So you don't think he's actually, giving you the news that he is, in fact, re-signed here? It's a miracle.
Oh, that could be true, Dale.
No, it's not. I just was trying to get you going.
Listen, they need something, right? And when you look at it, they need that dude. You know, we talk about just another dude. There's two ways to look at it.
Yeah.
There's.
Did you see, he's talking about, again, this is Antonio Brown's Twitter, because he's got an album coming out with Sean Kingston, mm-hmm. apparently. And he said he's going to be telling my story in these songs, all truth. I had the biggest police chase at FIU University campus. I feel like the U and FIU
Congratulations.
Is university. But either way. Mario Cristobal was the coach. Ask him.
Okay, good.
Or
okay.
me getting shot in the ear, in the left ear, in Liberty City pink and gray projects. Then I walk on to CMU.
Oh, boy.
2020. Then a car emoji.
Okay.
Records.
And then he followed that with, my life really a miracle. Wow. And it was better when I just told it and gave Wiggy the small hope that he was.
I'm still holding out hope.
He also tweeted, I am already a legend if I ever leave.
Meaning if he ever, you know, if God really calls him.
Which, yeah. again, ultimately that will happen.
Yes.
To everyone. Well, I'm not putting that on him. I hope that doesn't happen anytime soon. I'm just saying that will happen.
Let's just hope that he's able to help the Patriots win a Super Bowl before God calls.
Before God calls, come on back.
We're hoping he's feeling okay because, you know, that would be important too. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We'll get back to your calls in a little bit. We've got our Tom Brady midday replay as well.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. No need to check the time, as it's...
We have noon 30.
Noon 30?
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I haven't.
You just said noon 30.
That's what you called it for crying.
It's noon 30 with Dale and Keefe.
It is time for our Tom Brady Midday Replay. It's brought to you by Needham Bank. Can we be your bank? Tom Brady is on with the Greg Hill Show every Monday. He was on at about 8:45 today. Listen to the whole thing. We're going to give you a couple of the highlights here, a couple of things that we think you'll be interested in for those of you who were not able to listen at 8:45 this morning. And let's start with the problems if the team is playing from behind.
Yeah, I think every time you go on the road and you get behind early, it makes it pretty tough to overcome. And we got behind in Baltimore and, couldn't fight our way out of it. We got behind in Philly and did. And then, came down to Houston and, couldn't. So it's just, you always want to play from ahead, and we've done a good job of that at certain points in the year. And yesterday we didn't, but, prior to the way the guys fought, and we hung in there. We got a shot at the end on the onside kick to get one last chance. We just came up a little bit short.
So despite what you hear, and despite what you heard from Daron Harmon and James White before that, it sort of sounds like they're all a little under the weather a bit, doesn't it?
It sounds like they're all sick.
It does.
It does sound like every single guy on the team is dealing with something.
Well, in fact, they asked Tom if this flu issue that the team was dealing with last week and over the weekend was a factor.
I don't think it was a factor at all. I mean, I think, different teams are dealing with different things, and everyone has adversity over the course of the year. And, it's a long year. You don't have you just don't wait till everyone's, feeling great to play a game. The games are scheduled, and then your life happens. So it's basically from September through December, and then whatever happens. And, we've dealt with a lot of different things, whether it's injuries or personal family situations, or in this case, just a flu bug or something like that. But, you just kind of deal with it the best you can, and then you go out there and play, and hopefully you can get the job done.
Yeah, because, once you're out there, you're out there. And, you're dealing with illness all week. Maybe you're not, quite as strong as you would normally be or whatever. You're a little bit fatigued.
You might not have been able to do some of the things in practice that you'd like to have gotten done leading up to it.
I didn't think that he would use it as an excuse, and I'm glad that they certainly didn't. Because, you've dealt with it. Like,
I'm going to use that. If you're out there, you're playing.
You've been cleared to go.
You're healthy enough to play. Right. You fight through it. You're going to be dealing with some certain things. But those things are not going to affect your performance to the point where you can't be productive. Because if they are, then guess what? You're not going to be out there because you become more of a liability than an asset for us. And so I don't blame. And when you look at it, like, look at some of the things. The drop, I don't know if Sanu's dealing with anything, but you got to catch that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're Kyle Van Noy and you're playing the running back in one-on-one coverage, you got to put yourself in a better position to maybe not get caught flat-footed a little bit. So that has nothing to do with the flu.
We saw the video last night, first quarter, Brady on the bench in an animated conversation with some of his wide receivers. When we saw the other view, it looked like he was kind of talking over the head of Julian Edelman and Dorsett, who was sitting beside him. It looked like he was directing most of this stuff in the direction of Jacoby Myers and N'Keal Harry.
I think it was everybody but Edelman.
I was going to say, I think Dorsett was included.
Yeah. Could have been.
Yeah.
And so they asked this morning if the wide receivers are not as far along as he'd like them to be.
I think, you know, everyone's working hard. We're trying to do the right thing. And, you know, there's some good effort out there, and there's, you know, guys are doing the best, you know, they can do, in my belief. We're working hard and trying to do the right thing. And you know, sometimes it's been good. And other times, you know, we obviously have work we still got to do. So, that's just part of playing football. It's, you know, sometimes people have it figured out early, and some people, you know, we're trying to figure out as we go. And that's just part of it. That's just part of what we're dealing with. So just going to keep trying to go out there and, you know, put our best out there, and hopefully it's good enough.
I think the way he started that answer and even repeats it kind of sums up. You guys were making fun of me before when I was saying how Devin McCourty basically called N'Keal Harry Rudy. Because when you're asked for
you translated.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that's how I read it. Yeah. I was saying, you know, like, what do you think of N'Keal Harry? Like, oh, he works hard. He's a real pain. Like, the guy works hard. And so when Tom Brady's asked about all the receivers, specifically the young guys, but just all the receivers, are they far enough along? Mm-hmm. And it's just talking about, well, they work hard. Like, to me, that should be the very, very basic.
Like, everybody does that.
I could go down to Gillette and work hard.
Right.
I'd be horrible. You wouldn't throw me the ball, but I'd be working hard. So,
well, I might only throw it to you once.
Yeah, oh my God, it took you forever to get 10 yards. But I think that is, because he's not going to completely bury anybody. Like, that's never going to happen. And so the most polite way you can say that they have no skill is to say that they work
hard. Work hard and effort.
It's
like, how'd you feel about, you know, the receivers? Well, you know, they work hard.
They work hard.
They got out of bed. They walked today.
Yeah. And he even doubled down to it. He started the answer with everybody's working hard. And then later on, he's like, you know, working hard. It's like, that is...
Working hard is like, that's the fallback when...
There's nothing else.
There's nothing else.
There's
works
nothing
hard.
Else there. He works hard. Okay, can he catch? Can he get open? No,
well,
I didn't say that.
Well, you didn't ask me.
Because he can't.
So let's get to this last one here. And this is a bit of a longer answer, but I think it's what Patriots fans want to hear from Tom Brady. Because he was asked about the contributions from guys like N'Keal Harry and Philip Dorsett.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are I would never think that way, you know, I'm done with him, or, I mean, that's crazy. You know, I think, a quarterback's responsibility is to try to lead and motivate and, you know, we're often the voice of, you know, a lot of situations because first we're calling the plays in the huddle and B, we have, you know, a lot of information because we spoke with the coaches and the coordinators what we're trying to do. So we're trying to motivate people and get people to, you know, play their best. And guys are trying. I got no problem with, you know, I love playing with Phil Dorsett. I love playing with N'Keal. N'Keal's, you know, working his tail off, and he hasn't had a lot of opportunity out there, and he's learning as he's going. But, you know, to expect someone to go out in their third game of the year and, you know, be perfect, I think that's unrealistic for anyone. So I love what N'Keal's bringing. We're gaining confidence every week. I love what Jacoby's doing. We're gaining confidence every week. Gaining confidence with Muhammad. You know, Julian and I, we played together for a long time, and I think that shows itself pretty well. I think you see, you know, James and I, we played together a long time. So that's just part of our sport is, you know, dealing with, you know, new situations and trying to deal with them the best way you can. And this team's faced some unique ones to in and of itself. And, you know, just like every team has, we're not any different than any team. But, you know, at the same time, we're we're in a decent position here. And now we got to go try to beat a great football team at home in Kansas City.
So at least he said, you know, it'd be foolish if I said I'm done with these guys. I'm not going right. to throw to
Yo,
these guys.
I mean, would you?
And who really
would he ever
that?
Say that though?
But I mean, he doesn't.
Would he ever say that publicly? Like,
no,
I'm
no,
done
no.
With
but
this
he
guy?
Doesn't really. He doesn't do it.
No. But he did say that Harry's working his tail off.
Right.
He's working so hard he doesn't have a tail.
I mean, because he said he was done with Philip Dorsett in the game yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And he threw him that fourth, that was it, a fourth down play that that Philip Dorsett made the catch late at the end of the game? Was
Although I do think that the offense was done with N'Keal Harry. And by the way.
Well, he still got reps after that. He might not have been looking his way.
I don't think he got targeted again, did he?
No. He was on the field is what I'm saying.
Okay.
But I don't think he then got targeted because then Brady was like, I'd rather just throw it to Julian Edelman
than
double coverage.
So somebody who has run a slant route in the NFL, how much of that was Harry, how much of that was Brady, the pick?
But it wasn't a slant route, so.
I thought it was.
No, it wasn't a slant route.
What was it?
It was like more like an under route where he went up and then he comes.
Okay.
You know, it's like almost like an L, like to
okay.
so people
yeah, yeah.
can.
Like an in?
Yeah, like a short in, yeah. like a 5-yard in route.
So whose fault was it?
That was when you go back and you look at it, it's N'Keal Harry. He's got to okay. be. He's got to create separation there. And if you can't create separation
and
there.
But should Tom not have thrown it? If he didn't have separation, if he wasn't open.
Well, the ball's out of his hand.
Because what I read is it was more, sure, there should have been separation. There wasn't. But it's also you can't allow the corner to come through
right.
you that
Well,
way.
I was going to
like,
say.
You got to be more physical.
You got to be more physical. Yeah. And
which Josh Gordon would run routes like that all the time. And whether he caught him or not, they didn't lead to picks because right. he wasn't letting the guy come burst through. Especially Harry's 6'4", 225.
Right. They wanted
so
to move
play,
the tight end.
Play your size.
Well, it. And the other perfect example, if you want to see how it's done and how it's done the right way, is Mohamed Sanu runs a very similar play in the game, and Brady throws it to him. I think he catches it, but he pushes up, and then he's physical with the guy at the top, like right at the top of the route, which is about 4 or 5 yards,
yeah.
and he kind of gives him a nice little flipper, and that guy kind of bounces back a little bit, and he's able to create that space. Go back and look at the route. N'Keal Harry runs up 5 yards, hangs a right, doesn't create any separation. Mm-hmm. The guy cuts across his face. And
but I just think like that's the kind of thing where as great as the back shoulder throw touchdown was a week ago, you follow that up, he has the drop at the sideline, and yeah, okay, oh, it was raining, whatever, they're going to play in the rain again. And then you have the interception last night, and you just wonder – even if he's out there, isn't Brady just going to throw it to
look
Edelman
at someone
or
else.
White? Or
well, see, the problem, and this is where a lot of people don't see. And this,
the issue here is Edelman's getting double, triple teamed.
Right.
So you got to find somebody
yeah,
else who's
but
open.
See, here's where a lot of people miss. And this is where you need an expert eye like myself.
That's why we
this
have
is
you
where
in
the
every
all,
Monday and Wednesday.
This is where the all 22 comes in.
Okay.
The problem that a lot of people don't see is they don't see the beginning of the route. Okay, is he getting jammed up at the line of scrimmage?
I feel like Harry always does.
Is he having a hard time getting off the ball? Is the guy in his hip pocket as soon as he gets off the ball? So these are a lot of things that you're not able to see or maybe you're not looking for.
Well, sometimes the camera on the regular game film, you
right,
literally
and you can't
you
can't yeah. see it. That's why you need the All-22. They can see it with all the pictures that they get from the Microsoft, you know, mm-hmm. tablet and all the pictures that you see on the sidelines. So now when we're looking and go, well, why didn't Brady look at N'Keal? They got the pictures and going, wait a second, N'Keal Harry's getting absolutely abused at the line of scrimmage, and so the timing is already gone.
Right.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. I'm going to tell you how bad this Patriots offense is this year. When we come back in just a couple of minutes, Dale and Keefe with Wiggy Sports Radio, WEEI.
Now back to Dale and Keefe.
Hey, don't let me stand in your way.
I'm going to bring the truth to the people. I'm the people's champ.
WEEI.
Bill Barnwell, ESPN, does a very deep dive about the Patriots' issues right now. The headline is, Tom Brady is showing signs of a decline. Is it real or another mirage? And he's talking specifically about the Patriots' offensive problems. He says this is not a one-week problem. You think the first three games, they beat the Steelers, Jets, and Dolphins by a combined score of 106-17. Wow. He averaged over 300 yards passing per game, threw 7 touchdown passes, no interceptions, and they look like they're flying. From week 4 on, they haven't even been a league average offense. As he points out, it was masked by special teams and a defense that has scored touchdowns. The Pats have averaged just 1.69 points per possession since their narrow win over the Bills in week 4. That's 24th in the NFL, places them just behind the Dolphins over that same time frame.
Wow.
Last year, in the same 10-week span, they averaged 2.48 points. The year before that, 2.66 points. Again, that span this year, 1.69 points per possession. They are not playing well offensively. They haven't been playing well offensively since week 3. And this is not, you know, oh, well, they had a bad week. Oh, well, you know, they had the flu. They've been bad since week 4.
Oh, it's been a lot of games. It's been against some good defenses, right, some bad defenses, some middle defenses, home games, road games. Like, it has been a long time, and it's no surprise because it was also that week 4 game was the first time that we got Sad Brady.
Right.
The first time all year, because there's nothing to be sad about. The first 3 weeks, you had Josh Gordon
flying.
You had Antonio Brown for a game. You outscored your opponents, like Dale just said, by almost 100 points. Like, you were rolling. And then you faced a good defense, and you scored 16 points.
From week 4 on, from week 4 until now, of the league's 33 qualifying quarterbacks since week 4, Tom Brady is 30th in completion percentage, 30th in yards per attempt, 29th in passer rating, 24th in total QBR.
And why that's even more...
By the way, that's about the same as Mitchell Trubisky,
who
over
sucks.
That same span.
Sucks. And what's also damning about that is he leads the NFL in pass attempts. So it's one thing if you are low in some of those stats, and you're like, well, it's not really what they do. It's like, well, they can't run the ball either. They're making him throw. Like, he's throwing the ball more.
He has no choice.
They have to. They have to do it. So as bad as their other options are throwing the ball, it's still better than just handing the ball off to Sony Michel 20 times a game. So they're forcing Brady to throw, and those numbers are even worse than I thought. That's a pretty good job by Barnwell to sort of start at week 4. Because that's different than just saying, well, eliminate these three and like do it like random games. Because that really doesn't help you at all. Because you're like, well, what's going on right now? What's the pattern? And those first 3 games were, again, just the personnel alone looked a lot different. And now you're going since week 4 on. So that's the last game in September and then 2 full months of the season. And for them to be down there in the dumps is telling.
He takes it one step further. He says, watching Brady, I had to wonder whether his elbow injury might be a bigger concern than what has been let on via the injury report. Now, remember, he suddenly showed up on the injury report with this elbow thing. And Barnwell says, based on how he's throwing the football, I wonder if his elbow is worse than we think it is.
I don't think it is, because when, Rich, you just talked about as far as his pass attempts.
Leads the league.
Yeah, he leads the league in pass attempts. So if there was something there, they probably would. We've talked about this numerously over and over and over and over again. It is the pieces around him. He has absolutely, when you think about it, and the guy talked about last year.
He had the same pieces the first 3 weeks when he was carving teams
up.
No, he didn't.
He had Antonio Brown
Brown for one game.
And Josh Gordon for all three of those.
And ineffective. We thought Josh Gordon wasn't doing anything.
I thought Josh Gordon was not a top 20 receiver. I was wrong about that going into the year. I thought he could be. But Josh Gordon had a touchdown against Pittsburgh. And then he was actually the team's leading receiver against the Jets.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh game.
So, I mean, he was a guy. You're not going to confuse him with a Pro Bowler, but he's better than N'Keal Harry. He's better than Jacoby Myers.
And when you think about the first 3 or 4 games, you know, a lot of teams are trying to find themselves. They're working through a lot of stuff. It's towards the end of the season when you really find the identity of who you are and what your team is. So, you know, those numbers are kind of skewed. When you look at this team and you look at where they fall, right, think about where they fall in this – you know, playoff situation. Top 6 teams from both conferences.
Yeah.
This Patriots team offensively has the worst group of weapons, I would say, out of all of those.
But he also isn't playing well.
Right, but I think it's more on the weapons he has.
Of course you do.
You think Buffalo,
you thought their defense played
well
last night.
The top
you think
six,
Buffalo has worse weapons?
Does Buffalo? I would take the tight end, the kid Knox that they have.
Well,
you Buffalo.
Take any tight end over the tight end.
Well, no, I know that's part of the group. But that's part of the group.
I know. I mean,
besides Julian Edelman, right. I would trade off pretty
know,
much
but that's
everybody
the thing
else.
You can't ignore Edelman. You have Edelman. You have that guy.
Right, but that's why I
Edelman's
said
Edelman's better than group. Any receiver on Buffalo. He's better than any receiver on Baltimore.
But I said group. When you look at the group
for
overall.
Years and years, we've been saying Tom Brady has had this unbelievable success, despite the fact that he doesn't usually have the weapons
does,
other people
have. Who does Tennessee have?
No, I said the six teams that are in the playoffs.
Buffalo's one of those teams.
Yeah, Buffalo's in there. Buffalo's in there in that playoffs.
I know the Tennessee is killing it. Is Tennessee a playoff team
no,
right
they're
now?
No, they're seven right now.
All right, well, they have the same record as Pittsburgh, yeah. So even Pittsburgh.
Bill Barnwell's bottom
yeah, I'd rather, line. Listen, I'd rather take the kid Washington than...
Oh, my God. The kid Washington.
Then
you'd rather have Nate Washington?
I'd rather
Nate
have
Washington?
I'd have, no, rather have Washington
who is it?
Than
Nikhil,
than Nikhil Harry or Philip Dorsett. When you look
come
at...
On.
Come on.
He
it's
got a
not,
couple
come
of passes
on.
From the duck caller yesterday, and now you're falling
listen,
in love with him?
You're
overrating the other receivers on so other teams. You, they're not that good.
So what you're saying then... It's not the weapons around them. It's Brady.
I think it's both. I mean, I don't think it's just one thing. I think the offensive line has let him down. I think the receivers
right, the
let
offensive
him down,
line.
And
is,
he himself is not as good as he once
as
was.
As Barnwell says, Brady has been one of the league's least productive quarterbacks for 2 months.
And that's out of 32 teams.
Yep.
They all don't have great offensive lines.
No.
They all don't have great wide receivers and running backs. Or offensive coordinators. A lot of times, they look at Baker Mayfield. We're laughing at Mayfield because he has Freddie Kitchens. Or, you know, the Jets have Adam Gase. Like, there's all these horrible coaches in the league. Brady doesn't have that, and yet he's still down there with Mitch Trubisky. Who's Trubisky throwing to? Like, we can't make excuses for Brady and then ignore the fact that
but, well,
half
I don't
the
think
league
we,
has trash
I don't think
receivers.
We're making excuses for Brady. I think we're just
well,
looking.
Well, one of us is.
No. I said that Brady, he's not having as good as a year as we've seen him before, but I'm not putting a lot of it on his plate. I'm putting
so
it
you
on.
Are making excuses.
No,
it's not his fault.
No, Wiggy would rather have James Washington, Deontay Johnson, and Vance McDonald. He'd rather have those guys.
Listen, I'd rather have Vance McDonald, a tight end. Yes,
oh
I would.
Oh, God. He stinks, too.
When you look at it, making excuses meaning not putting anything on Brady's plate. I'm not saying Brady isn't...
We started out at 1% to play.
I'm not saying Brady isn't a small... He's a small percentage of...
Small.
Yes, very small. It's the O-line and it's the weapons he has around him.
Well, then they're doomed. Right? Are you just thinking they're doomed?
It's
they're
be,
not changing
yes,
the roster.
They're done if that's the case.
It's going to be very, very difficult for them.
Because now, don't you have to start to wonder, like a few weeks ago, as the trend was starting. Again, Barnwell points out the trend started in Buffalo. So for several weeks now, we've seen sad Tom Brady, and we've said this offense is struggling. But didn't part of you think, yeah, they might be able to win it defensively? And hasn't that changed? For me, it
there's
has.
A couple of losses,
but I don't think you
have...
could. I don't think you could.
They're not bad by any stretch. Like they're not like all of a sudden went from the best defense
no.
to like a middle
no,
of
no,
the pack
no.
defense. They're good. They're a very good defense, but a great defense is what could win you a Super Bowl with a bad offense. A very good defense gets you in the playoffs, maybe a win, but I don't think that can carry you the whole way.
But you still need an offense where you can go. Okay, it's 3rd and 7. I know this guy can make a play.
Yeah.
You don't have that.
You don't have James Washington.
Tom Brady, and we've been saying this for a number of weeks now, he seems to be throwing more balls to places where no one is than I've ever seen.
So what's that tell you?
No, I know. Our instinct has always been we blame the receiver. I'm not sure that it's always the receiver.
So you're saying a guy who's been in this offense for 20 years doesn't know where to put the football?
Oh, no, he knows where, but there have been times, look, you've seen it.
Right.
He's been dumping stuff off to nowhere a lot this year.
Wait, are you saying when he's under pressure? Like last night he was under pressure and he threw the ball at somebody's feet. Okay, that's one thing. But when you
see... But he's also thrown passes where there's no one even
right, so,
within 20 yards
so
of the
last
ball.
Night, for example, he throws a go route down the sideline. Who do you think is more at fault, Brady or Philip Dorsett?
Oh, we always assumed that Dorsett's...
I blame Phil.
We always assumed
right,
that
so,
it's the receiver's fault.
It's, and I would bet you...
But I don't think it's always the receiver's fault.
No, I bet you 10 out of 10 times it's the receiver's fault.
So it's always the receiver's
fault. 10 out of 10.
Yes.
Wow.
For when you're talking about two guys that are not on the same page, or a guy is putting a football in an area where there's no receiver, that tells me the receiver is not in the right place. Because there's no way that Tom Brady, who's been in this system for 20 years, knows the system in and out, is throwing a football to a place where he screwed up. There's no way. 10 out of 10 times, it's on the receiver.
But
now, if it's over the receiver's head or if it's a little beefy sails of football,
right,
that's on Brady.
Or like when he's thrown a couple of, you know, red zone or end zone interceptions this year.
Yeah, that's on Brady. Sure. The Buffalo interception, he rolling out. He throws
the interception that got called back last night was a horrible play by Tom.
Right, but that's on Brady. Right. You're saying where he's throwing a ball and there's no one there.
But Barnwell also ends that article by saying they can still win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, because that's sort of the question along.
Primarily with defense and special teams leading the way.
And Belichick, right? It's hard to bet against Belichick and just them figuring out. And, you know, the league is one of those weird things where every week you look at a team and you're like, oh, my God, this team we thought was good? Right? Like when the Saints lost a couple of weeks ago, you're like, what happened to them? Now, Baltimore, I know they lost to Cleveland, but since then, they do look really, really dominant. But everybody else is kind of, you know, back and forth as
but
to whether
have
or not they're
nobody
legit.
Else. After Julian Edelman, who could you say in the receiving core, tight ends, receivers, guys that it's 3rd and 7, you could go, okay, this guy could have a big game?
They think Sanu because they traded a second-round pick for Sanu. I've never
they
thought
obviously
of Sanu.
Thought a lot of him if they gave up a second-round pick.
I've never thought that. But maybe he was hurt. And maybe
or sick.
Or sick of
but
being
you
hurt.
Look at, when you look at it, and we sit here and we look at this, and you know, you might laugh at other Devontae Parker down in Miami or whatever. When you look,
come on.
But when you look at it, do we even have a Yaba? Come on. We don't even have a Yaba. Come on. Who's that other guy?
What?
Who's the other guy?
Well, I'm trying to follow here.
Well, who's the other guy could go?
Well, James White's going to get targeted a lot, and I know he's not a down the field guy.
And even more now.
But he's
going to
get a pile of
catches. Who's the
other
guy you go, man?
They don't have it. They don't have it. They thought it was Sanu.
They don't have that guy.
Harry. Two things that are kind of unorthodox. You know, midseason, a second round pick for a receiver, and then at the draft, a first rounder. They don't do that, so they were obviously expecting a lot out of both, and they haven't really got. Sanu had the one game where he had 10 catches, still only had 81 yards.
Right.
If I give you that if he throws it someplace where there's no receiver anywhere near it, we'll blame the receiver.
Yes.
When he overshoots a receiver by 8 yards,
that's his fault.
And you've seen a lot more of that this year than you have ever seen before.
I would say that's his fault. What, you know, and now could he have put it in a better place?
Like 7 yards lower?
Like, this is as bad as Brady, I think, has ever been. However, before everybody freaks out about it, you're starting with a very high bar, right?
Hall of Fame bar.
Like, I was going to say, like, 20 seasons, and maybe, you know.
Maybe the greatest
but I don't think it's his physical performance that you go, this is why Brady's playing that way. I think it's more about the players you have around them, and then him maybe forcing because he knows the offense isn't that good, so he has to go the extra mile.
Do you guys think that 2007 or 2010 Tom Brady would have the same numbers with the same group?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I think if you put Patrick Mahomes in this offense, he would have the same numbers.
I disagree with that, too. I think Mahomes would be able
to
elude some of the passes and he wouldn't be feeling the heat as much.
He still eludes some, but he'll get sacked because we know the O-line struggles, right? So he's going to get – there's going to be some sacks. There's going to be some pressures he can't get away from. And then if he does elude the rush, which we've seen Brady do, we don't see Brady rolling out like we see Patrick Mahomes do. But guess what? When he rolls out, Patrick Mahomes, he's not going to have a wide-open Tyreek Hill to throw it to, a wide-open Travis Kelce to throw it to, a wide-open McCole Hartman to throw it to. He's going to have Jacoby Myers being blanketed.
Do you assume that a guy like Julian Edelman is on the same page as Brady?
Yeah, most of the time they're on the same page.
And there was that one play where Edelman was open in the middle of the field and Brady threw it to the corner and there was no one there. Now, Julian Edelman does know where he's going.
Say, he's been on the offense a long
time,
too.
Which play was that?
He was open in the middle. Brady threw it to the corner. They were clearly not on the same page.
Yeah, I'd have to. Was he under pressure when he threw it? Did he just loft it up there? Was it one of, because there was a couple balls where I've just seen him where, like, there were people around him and he just chucks them out of, some of those passes where it's like, just chuck them out of the way. Now, I don't remember the one you're talking about with Edelman, but if there was him and Edelman, I would assume they'd be on the same page.
617-779-7937. We get right back to the calls with you. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy on a Patriots Monday, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.